Thank you everyone for joining this conference session. Today's class will be given by His Grace Mahavishnu Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.7.22 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Hare Krishna, yes, this is Mahavishnu.
Hare Krishna Mahavishnu Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your association in this conference call. Hare Krishna, you can take over, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, this is Mahavishnu from Massachusetts, Northborough, Massachusetts. These are my whole basis, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all for your association and this service. So as Mataji mentioned, yes, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text 22. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramilitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padhaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedhanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya As mentioned before, reading from Canto 4 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 7, Text 22. Tamupagatam alaksham sarve suraganadhaya anemu sahasuphaya brahmendra triakshanayaka. Translation. As soon as Lord Vishnu was visible, all the demigods, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, the Gandharvas, and all present there, immediately offered their respectful obeisances by falling down straight before him. Purport by ISKCON founder Acharya Desi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It appears that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, even of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. What to speak of the demigods, Gandharvas, and ordinary living entities. It is stated in a prayer, Yam Brahma Varanendra Rudra Maruta. All the demigods worship Lord Vishnu. Similarly, Dhyana Vastita Tad Gatena Manasa Pashanti Yam Yogina. Yogis concentrate their minds on the form of Lord Vishnu. Thus, Lord Vishnu is worshipable by all demigods, all Gandharvas, and even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Tad Vishnu Paramam Padagam Sadapashanti Suraya. Vishnu is therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though Lord Shiva was previously referred to in prayers by Lord Brahma as the Supreme, when Lord Vishnu appeared, Shiva also fell prostrated before him to offer respectful obeisances. Vanchakalpatarubhyasya kripasindibhyayeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. This is a wonderful, wonderful verse. When I read it yesterday in preparation of today's class, I was immediately, I guess you would say, inspired to talk about offering respect to our spiritual master, offering respect to the devotees, offering respect to, of course, Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not merely offering respect and offering obeisances, right? We know that it is very important to offer obeisances. Vandanam is one of the eight processes of devotional service, right? To offer prayers, to offer obeisances, to offer our respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. but not only to simply offer our respects in a mechanical manner, in a manner that we walk into the temple room, we knock on the door, we ring the bell, and then we bow down and we offer obeisances, right? It can become a rote mechanical exercise if we are not careful, if we are not aware and conscious of the importance of offering obeisances. We should also be mindful of the fact that offering obeisances is the very tip of the iceberg of our spiritual practice. It is the very tip of the iceberg of our sadhana, offering our respects and our obeisances. It is not enough to simply offer our obeisances, to bow down before the Lord, to bow down before the spiritual master. We also must, along with pranam, along with offering our obeisances and our respects, we actually have to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, right? When we offer our obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? We enter the temple room, we bow down to the Lord, we chant the pranam mantra to our spiritual master. We do not directly offer our obeisances, our respects to Krishna, to Radha, to Gorni Thai. We offer our respects, we chant the pranam mantra to our spiritual master. That is a very, very important point that we must be mindful of, must be careful to remember and to always realize that we are offering respects to our spiritual master. So this does not mean that we can offer, as we offer obeisances to Krishna, as we walk into the temple room, as we begin our services, sometimes we can lose sight if we're not consciously aware and deliberately focused on our obeisances to our spiritual master. We lose the import, the significance of offering our obeisances to our spiritual master. Because it is not merely to offer pranam to our spiritual master. What we also must remember is that with those obeisances comes the duty, the responsibility to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That is very, very important. It is not enough to bow down to the spiritual master, to Krishna. It is not enough to offer pranams to the spiritual master. It's not enough that upon entering the temple, we offer obeisances to the spiritual master. What is of most importance is that we follow the instructions of the spiritual master. The third offense in chanting the holy name of the Lord, Nama Parad, is to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. It is interesting that disobeying the instructions of the spiritual master is an offense against the holy name. That is a very, very important point to be consciously aware of. To enter the temple, to go to the temple and dance and do kirtan and do all kinds of service in the temple is perfectly fine. And not, I take that back, not perfectly fine. It is a requirement. It is a necessary part of our spiritual development. But what is of actual importance, of significant importance, is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That is absolutely key. It reminds me, back when I was a little child in Gurukula, we used to really appreciate and really love and look forward to visiting sannyasis, visiting senior devotees who would come to the Gurukula. Every day, as Gurukula students, we had to get up, we had to go to Mangalarti, japa class, or japa time, japa period, guru puja, and class. When there were no visiting sannyasis, when there were no visiting senior devotees, as children, we went along with the program. We were not always as enthusiastic as we could have been. But when we knew that there was a sannyasi coming, a senior devotee, a GBC member, we became very enthusiastic. And the reason was because in the example of Srila Prabhupada, they would pass out cookies after Guru Puja, right? You've seen all the, in the videos, you may have seen, Prabhupada used to hand out cookies to all the Gurukul students, right? After Prabhupada left, in the earlier days of ISKCON, not so much now, the senior sannyasis and devotees would also hand out cookies. So we would very much look forward to senior devotees coming to the Gurukula so that we could get our cookies after Guru Puja. And during Guru Puja, we would chant and sing as loud as we could. We would try to impress the visiting sannyasi, the senior devotee, as much as we can, so that we would get a nice big cookie from the senior devotee. This is the mentality, obviously, of a child. But this mentality can also creep upon us as adults, as we are even more mature in our Krishna consciousness, in the sense that we are looking forward to the reciprocation of this, the direct reciprocation of the spiritual master over the senior devotee, rather not taking into consideration the most important aspect of that relationship is the shiksha relationship, the relationship of following the instructions of our spiritual master when the spiritual master is not present. Right? It is perfectly fine to go into front of the deities and offer obeisances, to have kirtan, to have bhajan, but the real question is, are we following the instructions of our spiritual master? That is of key significance. That is of key import. Are we following the instructions of our spiritual master? Simply bowing down is not enough. As I served in positions of responsibility, even as an adult, it was very, in one way, very enlivening when local GBC members would come to the temple. And when the local GBC, or when the GBC persons would come to the temple, the local GBC man would come and visit and come and inspect the temple, then many devotees in the community who were not regular attendees to the temple, if you will, because of whatever reason, they would always make an appearance when the GBC or the visiting sannyasi was there for the weekend. After the GBC or sannyasi left, then some of these personalities, these devotees, you would not see for weeks at a time. They would show up when a senior devotee would show up. On the one hand, it was very enlivening to see that when a senior devotee comes, a senior Vaishnava comes, they attract all the devotees of the area. But it was also, in some points, and sometimes disappointing, in that they would only arrive, they would only come and take association of the temple when there were senior devotees, sannyasis, visiting. This is a very, very important point as we try to follow the instructions of our spiritual master, as we try to grow and expand and build this house that is ISKCON, right? The Gaudiya Sampradaya, our Sampradaya, is unique in that our responsibility is to grow, to build, to develop this house of Krishna consciousness. That is the instruction of our spiritual master. If we look in our parampara, all the great saints, all the great personalities of our parampara, they were all preachers. They all spent their time and energy sharing Krishna consciousness with as many people as possible, as effectively as possible. We are even more lucky as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, that ISKCON is particularly entrusted with the task of spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village. We've inherited this task from Srila Prabhupada. So our instruction that we receive from our spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, and through our present spiritual master, whomever it may be, we carry this task, this responsibility. We must endeavor to fulfill it. So as we go through our sadhana, our spiritual practice, as we go through our daily devotional services, we have to keep in mind the instructions of our spiritual master. We are members of a wonderful and empowered sampradaya. We are members of an empowered organization, spiritual organization. More than just an organization, it is a family. It is a family, a part of a wonderful and empowered spiritual family. But we must always be conscious of what the mission, what the task, what the responsibility we have of being members of this family. So only being present when they are visiting sannyasis, visiting devotees, is not enough. To only bow down and offer prostrated obeisances in front of the deity, in front of Krishna, yet when we get up and we leave the temple room, we leave the mandir, and then we behave in a manner that is not in harmony with the instructions of our spiritual master, then we have missed the point. When we offer our obeisances and we're chanting the pranam mantras of our spiritual master, we should be asking for the courage, the strength, the power to follow the instructions of our spiritual master. When the curtains open in the temple and we see the beautiful form of the deities, that in itself can be overwhelming, and we offer our obeisances. When we offer our obeisances, we should be asking for the strength, the courage to follow the instructions of our spiritual master so that we may serve his instructions, O Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, by bringing others closer to Krishna so that they may have darshan. Every opportunity we get to offer our obeisances, we should be reminded of the instructions of our spiritual master. We should be asking for the courage and the strength to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Offering obeisances is a very, very powerful sadhana. We should be offering our obeisances, at least those of us who do not live in the temple, are unable to regularly attend temple programs, right? Because we have families, we have pressing jobs, so be it. We should at least be offering our obeisances to the spiritual master 3 times a day. When we wake up and we perform our first morning Gayatri, we offer obeisances to the spiritual master. Noontime, when we are chanting our noontime Gayatri, we offer obeisances to the spiritual master. In the evening, before we go to bed, we chant our Gayatri. We offer obeisances to our spiritual master. Minimum 3 times a day. Those who may not be second initiated and do not chant Gayatri 3 times a day, then at least 2 times a day. When we get up in the morning, if you're not second initiated, that's not a problem. Get up in the morning, offer obeisances to the spiritual master. Before going to bed, offer obeisances to the spiritual master with the intention, with the sankalpa, with the concentration, the consciousness of my dear spiritual master, please give me the strength, the courage to carry out your instructions. This is what it means to offer obeisances. It is not merely to be a Gurukul student, jumping up and down, offering obeisances, singing very loudly in order to get a cookie. We should be a little more mature than that in our devotional understanding. Are we in the same, do we have that mentality when there is no cookie available, right? When there is no visiting senior devotee? On those days of the Gurukul student, was I jumping up and down and dancing with great enthusiasm? No, I was not. We should not be that type of Gurukul student. right? Now, of course, we have good days, we have bad days. Sometimes we're rushed for time. There are many different stresses in material life as we try to take care of our family, our obligations that are not directly connected with Krishna consciousness, not directly connected to Krishna or the instructions of our spiritual master, right? We have other obligations as grihasthas. But still, there's one very, very important, not important, well, yes, it is important, but a very interesting quote I had heard several years ago by a famous American, many of you may know, Martin Luther King, an American civil rights leader. He was also a reverend, a Christian priest, if you will. And he was asked to go attend a meeting because he was involved in so many social activities and civil rights issues. So he was a very, very busy person, even outside his responsibilities as a reverend, as a Christian leader. But he would spend every morning in prayer. One day his secretary came rushing in, saying, my dear Reverend, we have to go. There's an important meeting. The media is waiting for you, and so on and so forth. You must come. We've got to go. We've got to get in the car. We're going to be late. The Reverend said, yes, so much important thing that I have to do today that I must spend another hour on my knees in prayer. In other words, our prayer to the spiritual master, our japa as well, there is nothing, nothing more important than our prayer to a spiritual master, than chanting our japa. Nothing more important than that. And it is very, very difficult to juggle, to switch around, to make sure we prioritize things correctly. But if nothing else, twice a day, minimum twice a day, spend the time to pray, offer pranam to the spiritual master. Because it is through the grace of the spiritual master, through the well wishes of the spiritual master, that we gain the mercy of Krishna, and we gain the ability to move forward and progress in our spiritual life. This is something that is not an issue so much in India, because India still has some vestiges of Vedic culture left, so this is not so much of a problem. But in most of Western Europe, and particularly in the United States, this is an issue about the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. Unfortunately, in the United States and in Western Europe, there has been some difficulty with this relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, where spiritual masters have decided not to continue their devotional service, and they left their disciples. Because of this, there's been some very contentious or controversies about the role of the spiritual master, what are the qualifications of the spiritual master. And again, in India, this may not be so much of a problem, but it really is a problem here in the United States and in Western Europe. Because the importance of a spiritual teacher, of the spiritual master, of the guru, has been eroded. The importance of the spiritual master has been devalued. So oftentimes I get into a lot of discussions with even my old Gurukul classmates and many devotees here in the United States, and also when I was living in Western Europe, about this relationship between the guru and the spiritual master and the qualifications of a guru. The unfortunate situation is that oftentimes people are pointing to the qualifications of a spiritual master. The spiritual master should be this, the spiritual master should be that, the spiritual master should be so many different qualifications. And that is not incorrect. That is certainly valid. But what is most important is not the qualification of the guru. It's not. It's the qualification of the disciple. We know the Avanti Brahmana, right, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who identified more than 20 gurus. The bumblebee, the prostitute, so many grass, the swan. It is because of the quality of the disciple that this he could see spiritual masters everywhere. When the disciple is qualified, the spiritual master automatically appears. It does not matter if the spiritual master is qualified or not, if the disciple is unqualified. Sri Krishna, standing in front of Duryodhana, not only in front of Duryodhana, in front of many of the kings in the Rajasuya Yajna, right? Duryodhana tried to capture Krishna when Krishna was engaged as the peace ambassador of the Pandavas, right? Duryodhana tried to capture Krishna. Krishna revealed the partial universal form. Duryodhana just described that as being tricks of Krishna. So even when the qualification of the spiritual master is there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing before us, if we are unqualified, what impact will that have? In the Rajasuya Yajna, right? Shishupal, insulting Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the disciple is unqualified, then whatever happens, whatever the spiritual master can impart to the disciple will always be limited. The effect will be limited. Of course, the effect will be there, right? The spiritual master, the qualified spiritual master, who is an emissary of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can give, right, prasadam, right, mercy of the Lord, and that is purifying. But if the disciple is unqualified, completely unqualified, then the impact of that mercy is going to take many, many years, even lifetimes, to fructify. So the more qualified the disciple, the more receptive the disciple is to the instructions of the spiritual master. The quote I always hear when I have this discussion with persons who are struggling with this guru-disciple relationship, they always quote Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udurapasta Vegam, right? Etan Vegam Yuvis Edirira Sarvapyam Prativimsha Shishyat, right? One who has control of the tongue, belly, and genitals can make disciples all over the world. Always bringing up the qualification of the disciple, never recognizing that the most important qualification that needs to be assessed is the qualification of the disciple. Because it is the disciple that must follow the instruction of the spiritual master. So we do not hear quotes, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandhanta Guru Hitam. No one quotes that verse. Where the brahmachari must have complete control of the senses, must serve the spiritual master. Sumit Pani Sotriyam Brahmanishtam, right? Sumit Pani, carrying firewood, doing menial service to the guru. The guru does not require our menial service. The reason why we engage in menial service is so that we can control our senses. So we can recognize the quality of our consciousness, the nature of our ego. That is why we sumit pani. That is why we do menial service to the spiritual master. So no one quotes Brahmachari Guru Kuleva Sandanto Guru Hitam Acharanda Suvanicho Guru Sudhrida Saurit. No one quotes that verse. Because that puts the onus on the disciple. The qualification then is upon the disciple. If we have qualified disciples, guess what? We will naturally have qualified gurus. Because the guru is nothing more than a disciple. That's what a guru is. The guru is a qualified disciple of their spiritual master. and their spiritual master. That is the parampara system. But as Krishna says, right, the disciplic succession is broken. Yoga nashta parantapa. It becomes broken. When the system and the parampara is broken, then what happens? The science as it is appears to be lost, and then people begin to devalue the importance of having the guru, a spiritual teacher. So the qualification of the disciple is most important. Otherwise, what do you have? You have Gurukul students who only are jumping up and down when someone is coming with a cookie, rather than having disciples who, when they pay their obeisance, when they enter the temple, when they're chanting the Gayatri, and they're offering the pranam to the spiritual master, asking for the strength, the courage, my dear spiritual master, please give me the ability to carry out your instruction. What are the instructions of the spiritual master? To chant our rounds every day, right? Those of us who are initiated, chant 16 rounds every day, observe Ekadasi, attend the morning program as far as possible. Even if we're living outside, it's of course more difficult. It's once a week, once a month, to make a regular appearance, attendance to the spirit, to the morning program. To eat only Krishna prasadam, that is a very difficult one for those of us who live outside and have various jobs outside the mandir. Very, very difficult to eat only Krishna prasadam. Right? In my line of work, I attend so many different meetings, and you know how in politics, meetings go on for hours upon hours upon hours. Occasionally, my wife is occasionally able to provide me a tiffin to take. A tiffin is, for those of you who don't know, packed lunch, right? My wife will provide me a packed lunch occasionally. But in the work that I do, I'm always meetings, everyday meetings, politicians that go on for hours, right? It is very difficult to make sure I only eat Krishna prasadam. But this is the instruction of my spiritual master. Because we know, Yogya Shishtashina Ashantam Muchante Sarva Kilbishai Bhunjate Tavyagam Papam Yepa Chantyatma Karana. Food grains that are not offered to the Supreme in Yogya, what are we eating? We are eating Papa. We're eating the sinful reaction of all people involved in the preparation of that meal. So it is very, very important that we always endeavor to eat only Krishna prasadam. This is the instruction of the spiritual master. So it is not enough that when the spiritual master comes to our town, when the spiritual master comes to our local temple, we go and we offer obeisances, but we do not follow the instructions. It is not enough to chant 16 rounds, but disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. It is something that we must consider when we endeavor, those of you who are not initiated, or if we are inspiring others to be initiated, we must be very careful to make sure such persons are qualified. If we are recommending others for initiation, we must be very, very careful in determining who we recommend for initiation. Diksha initiation is a very, very serious thing. Because devotees who take diksha initiation, there is no leeway for breaking the vows of initiation. These vows of initiation are taking place in front of the devotees. They're taking place in front of the deities. They're taking place being witnessed by every single personality of the parampara. We are being initiated into the parampara. Every single member of the parampara is witnessing us taking those vows. We have to be absolutely certain that if we are recommending someone for initiation, they can follow those vows. For life, We know in the Lilamrita, right, Srila Prabhupada gave initiation to the first group of devotees, or the second group of devotees. Immediately after initiation, they were in Dunkin' Donuts. Immediately after initiation, they were in Dunkin' Donuts or whatever coffee shop was across the street from the temple. We laugh when we read it in the Lilamrita, but we have not matured past that stage even today. When I took initiation, I was a child, 17 years old. I had no idea what I was getting into. I did not have the emotional maturity to understand what I was getting into. But so be it. My spiritual master at the time had mercy on me. But we can no longer, oftentimes I hear, and it's a very good statement, that we must boil the milk, right, in Krishna consciousness. That it's absolutely a fact. We've been 50 years, ISKCON has been 50 years growing, doing wonderfully. But at the same time, we must make sure that new Diksha disciples are qualified. Because Diksha disciples are the future gurus of the world. We have to become qualified disciples. And it is very difficult. It is very difficult to make sure we're chanting our Gayatri every day, three times a day, because that is the instruction of our spiritual master. We are chanting 16 rounds every day. That is the instruction of our spiritual master. That we are exemplary as much as possible in representing Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, because that is the instruction of our spiritual master. We must follow ekadasi as much as possible, because that is the instruction of our spiritual master. Eating Krishna prasadam, always, because that is the instruction of our spiritual master. We must, that is what it means to be a disciple. And it takes discipline. That is tapasya. Of course it is difficult. That is tapasya. Tapasya is purifying, right? In the 18th chapter, yajna dhana tapa karma na tyajyam karyam evata. Krishna says, yajna dhana tapa, sacrifice, charity, and tapa, penance, should never be given up. Yajna dhanam tapa sarva pavanani manishino. Because yajna, sacrifice, dhana, charity, tapasya, austerity, purify even great souls. It purifies those who are already mature in their spiritual practices. So though it is a tapasya, of course it's a tapasya, but it is still purifying. And when we are following the instruction of the spiritual master, then we are no longer engaged in nama-parad. We're no longer engaged in Vaishnava-parad. We follow the instructions of the spiritual master to the letter. When we are not committing aparad, nama-parad, Vaishnava-parad, then the full effect of the holy name can be received and experienced. Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Bhinatam Namanamina, right? The quality of the holy name, it is complete, it is pure, it gives liberation. But if we are constantly committing aparad, that full effect cannot be manifest in our chanting. So it is very important, seeing this example in today's verse, we're seeing that Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they're going to, coming over the next several verses, we're going to see they're going to be offering beautiful prayers. But they were always engaged in the Lord's service. So we must make it a conscious effort to make sure we always are vigilant in recognizing it is not enough to go through the motions. of offering respect, of offering prayers. We have to have a sincere, conscious endeavor, conscious awareness, to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. It is the instructions, the endeavor to follow the instructions of the spiritual master that ignites, that activates everything about our sadhana. It is not just to be the Gurukul student jumping up and down for the cookie. What is the instructions of a spiritual master? We endeavor to always follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So I'll end there. If there are any questions or comments or something to share, please do so. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, koti koti dandvat pranam to your seva. Today you cover so many points, Prabhuji, it's just to us. First of all, you cover Vachu Vigam, Manasakrodha Vigam, Jiva Vigam, Mudrapas Vigam. And then you give a instruction, you guide us that we have to give three times daily obeisance to our spiritual master, and we have to follow the instruction of our spiritual master. And after initiation, the responsibility is increased. So that, Prabhuji, so many points you cover. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai ho, dandvat pranam to your seva, jai Sri Radhe.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a wonderful class. So I like that when it's like paying obeisance to the spiritual master is not enough, we should follow this instruction as well. And we should regularly be in touch of his teaching. So thank you so much Prabhuji, this is my intake from this class. Thank you.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji, one more point I want to add, that we have to read Bhagavatam, Shetan Chanamur, Srila Prabhupada books. Srila Prabhupada is there. Prabhuji, thank you very much for guiding us, for inspiring us.
Yes, thank you very much. That's a very good point. Mataji mentioned that reading every single day. We used to, there was one song we used to sing in Gurukula. You know, the there was a Christmas song. I forget the words for the Christmas song, but it was in Gurukula. They changed the teachers changed the words of the song, and they made it chant your rounds, take prasad, read a verse a day, do this very steadily, and Maya will stay away. Hey, they made it into a Christmas song. It was a Christmas song, but it's a very, very important point to always, yes, daily read. And take shelter of the Shastra. Read Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada said we should not only just try to contribute to the books, we must read them. I'm lucky enough that every morning I also have a Bhagavad Gita class every morning, mostly for people who are not, well, all of them are not initiated devotees. They're new to Bhagavad Gita, they're new to Krishna consciousness. So it's, I give the lecture on that level. But it's every single day. We do it also kind of like this on WhatsApp. We have a Bhagavad Gita class, and it's done every day, and it's very, very important to always be connected to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the teachings and the instructions of the Acharyas and Krishna. Wonderful point. Thank you for bringing that up. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Danda Pranam, all worship to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. I have a question, like in purport, they said the prayers like Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta. So where can we find this prayer? Because this is not complete, it's just like one or two lines given. So where is that complete prayer? And can you speak a little bit about that, like explaining the meaning of that?
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the purport right now. I, for reference. It appears that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, even of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, what to speak of the demigods, Gandharvas, and ordinary living entities. It is stated in a prayer, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta, all the demigods worship Lord Vishnu. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam verse. So the verse, Yam Brahma Varunendra, I have not researched that verse to find out where it comes. So I don't know where Prabhupada pulled that verse from. But we also see something similar to this in the Brahma Samhita, right? Where Krishna talks about, I believe the verse is Yastindra Gopamatavinda Mahusva Karma. I believe that's the verse. It talks about the demigods being or coming from or being engaged in the or subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda. So we see there are actually quite a few verses in relation to, or the relation, showing the relation between Krishna and the demigods. We know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, I was talking to some members of the temple here in Northborough, and we were talking about demigod worship and Krishna worship and so on and so forth. And there is oftentimes some misunderstanding, particularly from people who have background from India. They have a misconception of the relationship between various gods. And sometimes this has to be properly cleared up. And Krishna mentions quite clearly, we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, right? That those to whom you worship, that is where you go, right? You worship the demigods, you go to the demigods, you worship the ancestors, you go there. And various other places, particularly in the 11th chapter, clearly stated that the demigods, all creatures, come from the Supreme. These things are not actually, unfortunately, not very well known outside of, because people don't really read and study the Bhagavad Gita, which Mataji mentioned. When this is done every day, we come across these verses time and time again, talking about the original Supreme Personality of God. It is either Vishnu or Krishna, depending on the scripture reference. So to answer your question, Mataji, I do not know precisely where this particular verse comes from. I'm assuming that a search on the internet could probably yield the source of this particular verse. I do not know where it comes from, but it is not a unique verse. Verses describing the demigods worshipping Vishnu, the demigods being subservient to Vishnu or Krishna, are all throughout the Puranas and Shastra. So it is not a unique verse. It is not a one-off verse. It's just that it's not really talked about a lot because people have personal preferences, right? People have their Ishta Devata. They have their preferences for a family deity that they have worshipped for generations. So they don't take note of these various verses that talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead being Lord Vishnu. And the Narayana Upanishad talks about how in the Narayana, all the demigods, right, Shivaschanarayana, Indraschanarayana, Shakraschanarayana, all these things come from Narayana. So this is not unique. These various mantras and Upanishadic sayings. But again, to get back to your question, I do not know where this particular verse comes from. So please forgive my ignorance on that account.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I think it's from Bhagavatam, but I don't know which canto and where.
Yeah. The one thing about technology Prabhuji these days, and Google, it can probably be researched on Google.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
I think it's in the 11th canto. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, 11th canto.
Hare Krishna, Mahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
So, actually, this shloka is a very unique shloka. I was surprised that you said this is not very specific. Because this is the essence and conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the 12th canto, is the first shloka.
Yes.
And the message of Bhagavatam is clearly capsuled in this particular, to establish the supremacy, supreme position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so actually it is a message to all the worshippers of the Vedic culture that, see, you are thinking that this person is supreme, that demigod is supreme, but they are, by their personal example, worshipping the real Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so much detail this shloka in particular, Sutta Goswami is revealing the message, ultimate message of Srimad Bhagavatam, summarizing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. He begins with this Yam Brahma Varuna. This shloka should be memorized by all the sadhakas. And this stands out actually, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why in the concluding shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami is just whatever he has heard and the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam actually. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, that's absolutely correct. That is so very, very true. Very true. Good point as well. It's something that is to be memorized, because when we are talking or trying to share, so many people have so many attachments to other demigods. And so many times we hear, right, people from, oftentimes people from India who have some connection to spiritual culture, Vedic culture, they are often sidetracked by other demigods, and they have an emotional attachment. But they do not have the Shastric references to back up. It's just an emotional attachment. It is not founded in the writings of the Shastra and the Vedanta. So it's very important that we are able to show, no, this is, yeah, Ganesh is wonderful, Shiva, Parvati, everyone, that's perfectly fine. However, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, right? So it's you're absolutely correct, Guru. This is something we should be prepared to help others worship, right? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who worship the demigods, they do so, but they do so in a wrong way. So we have to help. That is also part of the instructions of our spiritual master, to help others come closer to Krishna in the right way. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Kanak Pranam, all glories to Krishna, Prabhupada, and Guru Maharaj. It's a very, very nice class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhuji, I have one question. It's a general kind of question. Out of curiosity, just I wanted to ask. Prabhuji, you are telling about a spiritual master. And then also, Shastra says we have full faith and a spiritual master. All the Vedic scripture, it will reveal the main purpose of the Vedic scripture. But what happens sometime in our society now, because of, in the beginning, we need a lot of Bapu Seva and Bani Seva, yes? We should follow, we should serve our spiritual master either by menial service or the instruction we should follow. But in the beginning, for us neophyte, it's very necessary to do the Bapu Seva. And then we can develop that faith with our spiritual master. But what happened? Because our spiritual master, they have a lot of disciples. It's not possible everybody gets Bapu Seva and then try to follow his instruction. But that the faith to develop is sometimes very difficult, you know. It's how you suggest, Prabhu. And then it was very wonderful to hear you and you are taking initiation. You are very small, and by your experience also you can tell how we can develop that faith with the master.
Yes, in the beginning, sometimes in the beginning, Vapu Seva is very, very important. Because oftentimes we know, right, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chaturvedha Bhajantimam Jhana Sukriti Arjuna, right? Atoja Gyasu Artarti Gyancha Bharatarshava, right? Many people, we begin our Krishna consciousness for various reasons. Either distress, desire, we desire wealth, we are inquisitive. Basically, when we begin, oftentimes when we begin our devotional life, we do it because of some sentimental reason. In other words, our spiritual maturity is not very high. There is some sentiment, right? Some, when we hear the stories of many devotees, why did they become devotees of, why did they begin Krishna consciousness? Oh, they saw Prabhupada and they saw Prabhupada was beautiful. He was radiant. They loved his singing. They loved his chanting. They loved prasadam. So oftentimes our initial attraction is very sentimental and very physical. And that's enough to get us started, right? But as you properly and correctly mentioned, oftentimes as the guru has many disciples or the guru has other responsibilities in different areas of the world, so we may not have that close association. That is very, very true. What Raghunath Swami has done is very, very powerful and very, very remarkable. The counselor system. We should really take where the counselor system is available, should really take shelter of that system. Because I can, my experience is similar to that, but because I had the counselor system for me as a young devotee was Gurukula. So I had many teachers in Gurukula that I got association from. So I was always, I will use myself as an example, I was always very much sentimentally attached to Jagadish Goswami at the time. Back in those days, Jagadish Goswami was the Minister of Education. So I was always very personally attached to Jagadish Goswami. And but obviously, he only came to the Gurukulas where I was two or three times a year, so there was not a lot of time for me to have close association. Also, when there's hundreds of children around, a close association was not there. I would get my cookie, and that was about it. But because many of the teachers in Gurukula, oftentimes they would have meetings with him, and they would come and they would share their association they had with Jagadish Goswami. So it was through them I was able to get some Vapu. Well, it wasn't so much Vapu because obviously he was not there, but I had a greater, more connection if he was not there at all. So there is no substitution. If the spiritual master is not physically available, that is oftentimes going to be the case. But we must find ways to take shelter of those who have connection with the spiritual master. Even if they do not have shelter of the spiritual master or connection with our spiritual master, then we must take shelter of them, their association. It is okay to have close attachment and appreciation for the senior devotees around us. Because, and that's going to prepare us for the times when our spiritual masters may pass away, right? If our, God forbid, our spiritual master, as in my case, twice, my spiritual master decided, they decided not to continue in their devotional practices. This happened to me twice until I took shelter, was able to take shelter of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. But then Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj passed away. So then again, I'm left without Vapu, right? And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I asked Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj before he was leaving, I asked Gurudev, is there, give me some, what can I hold? Give me some instruction. He laughed at me. He says, Mahavishnu, you've been doing this for so many years. If you don't understand what you should be doing at this point, you'll never understand. Of course, he was teasing me. But then he says, okay, you need an instruction? This is your instruction. Cooperate with other devotees. That's it. Mahavishnu, cooperate with other devotees. I'm also very lucky that Bhakti Tirtha Swami also had a very close relationship to Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So I'm able to get association and instruction from Radhanath Swami. And that connects me or helps me feel connected to Bhakti Tirtha Swami. So in the beginning, you're absolutely correct. Vapu is less, but also Vapu is very important. It is important because our maturity is less. So it is nice to do personal service to the spiritual master. I remember when Jagadish Maharaj, or after Jagadish Maharaj, it was Harikesh Maharaj, they would come to Mayapur for the GVC meetings. And we would all rush, myself particularly as well, to get their clothes, to wash their clothes, to iron their clothes. It was a wonderful, wonderful service to do that. When that became unavailable, it is a service that we miss, a service certainly that I had missed. But missing that service is also a form of connection with the spiritual master, right? We get a little bit of service, a little bit of Vapu service. When that service is no longer there, the memory of that service is a sort of connection with our spiritual master. So we have to begin to very quickly develop that connection in many small ways with the spiritual master, because that is going to give us the strength to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. So we must always hold to whatever little connection we can get in terms of Vapu that is going to help us stay strong so that we can follow the instructions of a spiritual master. But if you're looking for an easy solution, there is not one. There is not one. When Bapu is not there, let's read the story, the final lesson, when Srila Prabhupada left his body. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, a huge segment of ISKCON devotees discontinued their spiritual life. A huge segment over the months and years thereafter. Many, many devotees, Srila Prabhupada would say, don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stay. When Prabhupada left this world, many, many devotees could not continue without his personal presence. It doesn't mean that, right? Arjuna asked this question, my dear Krishna, what happens to those who do not complete or do not achieve success in their devotional, in their spiritual growth? Krishna says, don't worry. They take birth so that in the future they may enjoy in the planets of the demigods. Then they take birth into a family of pious people, right? They take they take birth as the children of the devotees. And they begin again their devotional, spiritual process. But it's no easy answer to that question, Mataji. Yes, Bapu is important, and it's not always there. But we must, the little nuggets of prasadam, the little pieces of mercy we get from the spiritual master, we have to take that, we have to hold that, we have to use that to give us the strength and the encouragement. And that's why, when we offer our obeisances to the spiritual master, we have to connect ourselves through that opportunity to offer obeisances to the spiritual master. Right? The story of Ekalavya, it has two sides, but the positive side of the story of Ekalavya is that we must gain that connection with the spiritual master. Anything else? I hope that helped, Mataji. I know that was not very encouraging. But there
no,
no
Prabhu,
easy...
it's exactly what I wanted. Because to please a special master, I was just remembering one story from my special master was giving. He was telling one story. One person, he wanted to get the mercy of Krishna, and then in the middle, he was looking for Krishna, and then but at that time, Krishna, I want you. And then while that time, so many helicopter came and they said, come. He was in very difficult situation. The helicopter came and then they wanted to help him. And then he was, no, I want only Krishna. And then he was not ready to go with them. And later on, he was telling Krishna, you didn't come when I was in difficulty. And then I sent so many people to you to rescue in the helicopter, but you are not ready to accept. Means our position is like that. The spiritual master sends so many devotees, and then we should ready to take help from them, and we should accept them as our guru. And this is also Bapu Seva. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a perfect. That was a perfect example. That was the perfect example and the perfect answer. So you answered your own question. Well done. Hare Krishna. No, it's a perfect example.
Thank you.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha Kopaturu Bhisha Pripasanda Deva Chiputitanam Pavanibi Vaishnaveva Namunama. I must run to work. But thank you so much, all of you, for allowing me to serve and share in this capacity. I really, really appreciate it.